First Epistle of Peter, chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these encouraging words that we read here this morning. God, we look forward to that day. But Father, until that day, we need to know how to act, behave, and how we're to carry ourselves in this world for the sake of others around us and for your testimony and your praise. So, Father, as our pastor comes this morning and preaches to us from this passage, help us to have hearing ears and willing hearts to do what the Word of God tells us this morning so we can fulfill our responsibilities while we wait. Now, Father, if there's someone in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior to save them from their sin, I pray this morning they would trust him before they leave. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, how many of believe in heaven? Raise your hand. Now listen, if your cell phone goes off in the service, you're not going. That's all there is to it. See, but I'm saved. You're still not going. That's it. So it has to be turned off or to vibrate. So make sure of that this morning. We want to be sure the cell phones do not go off this morning, please. Heaven. It's a real place. The Bible says there is the heaven that is, and there is the heaven that will be. The heaven that is now is what we talked about last week, the first heaven. That heaven is not permanent. It's a paradise of God. It's a beautiful place. That's where our loved ones that are saved, all the saved have gone on before, they're there now. Every child that went to heaven before a time of age of accountability in their life, they're in heaven now. That's a real place. And listen now carefully. It is. I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Then there is the heaven that will be. That's the place where Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. He promised us that. He's been 2,000 years working on the new heaven. Took him 6 days to make everything you see and the expanse of this universe and everything in it. And he's been working on heaven for 2,000 years. Trust me. Say, well, I wonder what it's really like. Well, we'll take a tour of that heaven here pretty shortly in one of these messages. But I want you to understand something this morning. There is a question that we need to answer before we get further into these messages about heaven. We're going to talk about what we'll be like in heaven. What do we do in heaven? Those sorts of things. But the question we need to answer this morning is very simple, but it's important. Why is there a place called heaven? Say, well, there should be, Pastor Johnson. No, there shouldn't be. But there is. Some people, they've got the entitlement mentality. We deserve it. There should be a heaven after all this life. And they're like, oh, really? Well, we'll straighten some things out about that this morning, but trust me today. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, you understand. Now, there's no specific list in the Bible why there is a heaven. So I can't give you the scripture and the reference for it. But trust me, if we learn what heaven is about and what is in heaven and what isn't in heaven, then you get a pretty good idea of why there is a heaven. But let's get this clear this morning. Heaven is a real place. Heaven is a place, both places, created by God, with the intention of giving us a place to which you could go after this life that's far better than anything you've ever experienced in this life. But why is there a heaven? First of all, there's a heaven because it's a place of restoring. See, heaven, ladies and gentlemen, is a place where God is going to fix all the stuff that sin broke down here on this earth. See, here's what some people think. Well, heaven's right here on earth. Then you got a lousy heaven, pal. Trust me. I've been to some places on this earth that are incredibly beautiful, amazing. It just, I stood there, and every time I've been to these places, I look at it, and I think, I wonder if this is kind of like what heaven looks like, because it's that pretty. Perfect climate, nice day. So last for our anniversary, church anniversary, you're very kind to send us to over to Monterey, and we played Pebble Beach, the golf course there. Brother Evans and I got to play that day, and it was about 78, 80 degrees, calm, not much breeze to speak of. Now, if you're not a golfer, it doesn't mean anything to you, but if you're a golfer, that's kind of like the Mount Everest of golf. I mean, that's where you want to go to play golf. I think they're over there playing a tournament this weekend, if I remember right. You're walking golf courses, all the famous golfers have ever played. And most of the holes are right along the ocean. I mean, it was beautiful. See, how'd you play? Never mind. The course was beautiful. I have a couple of pictures of it in my office, and there's one there, and I see it, and there's a hole where you hit over this cliff, where you can if you want to. You hit across this chasm in the ocean, or you can hit around it, and I have to try over it. And I thought, I put one in the ocean there. I put one in the ocean there. I put one in the cliff on that shot right there. And saw it as we walked around that day, and we were, you know, a couple hackers out there playing golf, and we were having a great time, and we just kept telling each other, okay, not him. He's an assistant pastor. He has nothing to do but play golf. I'm working for a living. But we're out there playing golf. Hush, I'm preaching. We're out there playing golf. And we kept looking at each other. That wasn't free. That was 25 years. We're out there playing golf and enjoying that. I kept saying, can you believe it? We're here. It was that pretty. Believe me, nothing you've ever seen on earth can compare to heaven. Nothing. You get to heaven, you're going to spend a couple thousand years walking around with your mouth open, amazed at what you see. So did God build heaven just so there'd be a beautiful place? No. Heaven's a place of restoring. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, when God made everything initially, it was right. Because the Bible said so. At the end of creation, not evolution, creation, 6 24-hour periods, and God was done. He had made everything, sun, moon, stars, planet, rivers, oceans, trees, all of it. And in 6 24-hour periods, he was done. And when he was done, he saw everything. And God said it was very good. And friend, if God says it's good, it's better than you and I can think of as good. It was perfect. And then he took two people who had never sinned before and put them in a beautiful place God had prepared for them. And they would have lived there forever. There'd been no sickness, disease, death, sorrow, dying. There weren't going to be any jails, any hospitals, any nursing homes. No, it'd be nobody, no cemeteries. No one would have ever suffered a loss of anything forever. And do you realize, look at me, do you realize he put them in a body just like this one? And that would have lasted forever. We're lucky to get through the day. Can you imagine a human physical body that God originally created that would have lasted forever? Then sin came. Now you hear me and you hear this preacher carefully this morning. Sin changed everything. I'm tired of these people who say, well, if there's really a God, wasn't he stop all the suffering in the world? Because he didn't start it. That wasn't his fault, friend. He didn't make the mess this world has become today. He didn't make the sorrow and the suffering and the pain and the heart. He didn't make all that. God didn't make death. God made life. And he put us in a perfect place. And that's where we would be today had not sin come and changed things. And that was man's choice, yours as well as mine. So you know what heaven does? Heaven restores that which sin cost us. Heaven puts the blush back on our cheeks. Heaven puts eternality back in our lives. Heaven gives us a place where we have fellowship with God. And everything is the way God intended it to be. You know what heaven does? It restores the original plan of God. Where you and God could be together forever. And this time there will be no serpent. There will be no sin. There will be no suffering. There will be no rejection. There will be no loss. This time when heaven, God made a place. God made the place, dear people. And we can go there through Christ. We can go to this place and God will restore everything. You mean it'll be like Eden, Pastor Johnson? No, it'll be even better than that. This time there'll be no serpent that will come. This time there will be no choice of man and woman to decide to rebel against God. This time fellowship that was lost will be restored. This time the plan that God had for us to be with him forever will be restored. Heaven's a place where God fixes it. and it's forever. And he restores it without any possibility of change. There isn't another chapter after the book of the Revelation that says, and then man messes it up again. Not this time. So heaven is a place. Why is there a heaven? It's a place of restoring. Number two, it's a place of renewing. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse number 4. It says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. What God has reserved for you, this inheritance you will receive as a child of God in that place called heaven, that there will never be an end to that. Nothing's going to come. It's going to mess it up. The Bible says there, incorruptible. There's no rust in heaven. There are no moths in heaven. There's no thieves to break through and steal. Nothing's going to come and alter all that. You're not going to lean your ladder on the wall of man's success to get to the top to find out there's no success and there's no life there. That's not going to happen. The Bible says in verse number 4, it's incorruptible. It is undefiled. Nothing will ever come and alter the beauty and the wonder of the life that you are going to have in heaven. It's a place of renewing. Here's what that means, dear friend. It's a place where God restores and renews the eternality of things. See, we don't understand that today. Eternity, the concept of forever, is beyond our wildest imaginations because everything we know has an end to it. Everything. You watch your children come into this world. You spend all that time to teach them to walk and to talk. And the rest of their life teach them to shut up and sit down. But to walk and to talk. And before you know it, they're walking. And you think, wow, what happened? Then they're in school. Then they graduate and they're gone. Then they're it's like, what happened? And every joy that you can have in life has an end to that joy in life. I don't care how good it is, friend. There'll be an end to it. I'm not being fatalistic. I'm just stating that's a fact. Think of the most pleasurable event you've ever had in your life. The thing that you enjoyed so much. The fact that you think about it shows you that there's an end to it. Because it's something from the past. Because everything in this life is temporal. Everything. Look here. Nobody's young forever. Nobody has what they want forever. Nobody get anything. If you get it all, you still don't get to keep it. You have it for a while, and then it's gone. You enjoy it for a period of time, and then it's taken from you. Or even if it's not lost due to something that's bad, it's not going to go forever. It's not. But in heaven, God renews the concept of eternity, and we get to understand it. Listen to me. You step to God's side of things, and you begin to understand what eternal life really means. You don't just walk around heaven like we did that day at Pebble Beach. We got this one certain hole, and it was just every hole, you know, every golf course has a signature hole to it. Their prettiest hole, their nicest hole, you know, that kind of stuff. Pebble Beach is 18 holes of signature. I mean, it's incredible. There are no Mickey Mouse little juffer holes on that thing. It's just magnificent. And we got up in this one particular hole, and we go, man, look at this. That's unbelievable. It's incredible. In its beauty and its scope, nothing we saw compared to what we'll see when we get to heaven. And listen to me, dear people, and there won't be any end to it. We walked the course. Normally, I don't walk 18 holes on a long course like that, but we walked the course because we wanted to see it. We had a caddy even, and we had him riding the cart and bring us clubs, and that's a kick, too. That's a lot of fun to have a caddy, you know. Get the ball on the green, toss it to the caddy, wipes it down, hands it back to you. Yeah, thank you very much. Put it 8 feet past the hole. Doesn't make any difference. Same old stuff. Pebble Beach, I still put the same. Still played the same. Make any difference. When you got to the 18th hole, you get the sense of, man, this is coming to an end here. We're going to play the last hole on Pebble Beach. This is it. We what the church did for us was also got us a room at the place there, the resort. They're nice places, very nice. And we went to we got checked in, and I went down to the desk after a while to get a few things, and I asked the lady for a fly swatter. I said, I got a couple flies in the room, just want to get them. You know, she goes, oh, that won't do. And I go, hey, no big deal. Just give me a fly swatter. I didn't bring one with me, you know. No, but Mr. Johnson, we can't have that. We're gonna have to move. I said, no, I don't want to move. I just got all the stuff in the room. Just give me a fly swatter. I'll kill a couple flies. I'm done. No big deal. You're talking to Mr. Cheese Whiz dude right here, all right? Just give me a fly swatter. No big thing. I'm not going to sue you, throw lawyers at you. Just give me a... No, Mr. Johnson, here. We're going to move you to the nicest resort in the place. Right off the 18th hole. I think it's like $2,000 a night or something. I said, well, okay. I said, but we're getting ready to go play golf. We'll have everybody move your stuff for you. I go, okay, that's good. My wife wasn't real crazy about that. I don't want to move it. It's just, honey, just throw it in the middle of the floor. They'll haul it all off. It's all right. And we're staying in this really nice, if you know Pebble Beach, the 18th hole, there's a really nice terraced room right behind the 18th hole. We were staying in that room. I was sitting out the next morning reading my Bible, watching the ocean. Two busloads of Japanese tourists pull up. They're out there taking pictures of the golf course. And they saw me sitting over there. They thought I was somebody important, so they were taking my picture. I tell you, Penny, you want to sign autographs? It's no problem. As much fun as we had and as pleasurable as the experience was, well, that was a couple years ago now. There isn't going to be any couple years in heaven. There is no time there. I can't comprehend the concept of eternality, but trust me, the temporalness of life isn't going to be there. Anybody you see in heaven, you're going to get to see them for eternity. Well, that doesn't sound like fun to me. There's some people up there I don't want to know. Trust me, I'll fix that in a moment too. But the truth of the matter is there aren't any goodbyes in heaven. There's no partings in heaven. Maybe we don't even say the word anymore in heaven because there's no reason to say goodbye. Because you will see them again. You will get to be with them again. It won't be that way. You'll see your loved ones that gone on before you. And this time, we won't say goodbye to them. This time, we'll say an eternal hello. Everything in this life has a time and a limit to it, but not in heaven. In heaven, it's eternal life. It's an eternal place. It's eternal fellowship. It's eternal relationship. It's eternal joy. All of that. And there isn't any end to it. You know why there's a heaven? Because it's a place of resolving. Now listen, this is very important. In heaven, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, God makes all things new. Not the old stuff with the stuff stuck back on it or a new paint job. He makes it all new in heaven. Here's how he does that. The Bible said the former things are passed away. And when you get to heaven, I'm going to know you and you're going to know me. Going to walk up to your brother Cliff in heaven. I said, there's Cliff Zirkel. And he's going to say, there's Pastor Johnson. I don't know if you call me pastor in heaven anymore or not. You say, there's Pastor Johnson. And then we'll have a little moment of temporary amnesia where I remember him, but I don't remember anything about him. Some of you think, well, if I know so-and-so's in heaven, I don't want to go. Well, maybe God won't let you go then. But you hear me. We get to heaven, all the former things are wiped away. You understand that? You're going to look at each other. You're going to know you married folks. You'll see each other in heaven, and you'll remember her name. You'll remember his name. But that's about it. You think you're going to walk around in heaven going, remember what you did to me on August the 14th, 1972? Do you remember that? You really think you're going to go to heaven and walk around behind God going, how come this happened and why did that happen and what was with the flood thing and how come the earthquake and what was that all about and what happened with Egypt when the president got chased out of the country and what's that all about and what's going on? You really think you're going to spend heaven questioning God about things? No, heaven is a place of restoring. You see, when you get to heaven, you understand, dear people, that in heaven God resolves some issues. This life doesn't matter anymore. So by the way, don't get too attached to it now. That thing you brought to church with you this morning that occupies your heart and your mind so much that you haven't heard of much of what's even been said because of the trouble you face in life today. That won't matter 10,000 years from now. It won't matter. Yeah, they occupy our minds now and they wake us in the middle of the night and we're concerned about things. We don't worry. We're righteously concerned, yes? But those very things in our lives, you look at me, those are all resolved when you get to heaven. You really think you're going to walk around in heaven thinking about all the sad, bad, horrible things that happened in this life? You really think so? That's why God wipes away the testimony of everybody. It's gone. We'll see each other. I'll know you, Brother Turner. I'll see you in heaven. You'll know me and I'll know you and we'll know one another. But that's all we'll know. We'll know one another. We'll remember anything said or done. I'll see Brother Evans and I'll say, I know a bunch of bad stuff about you, but I can't think of it. And the Holy Spirit will remind me and then I'll tell him. But anyway, no, it won't be that way. I remember him. We served together. I remember that part. That's all that's there. It's all resolved. Some of you today, you've got questions in your mind about God, about his plan, about his working, about what he's done or hasn't done in this life. And you say, well, that's not right, Pastor Johnson. I call that human. But do you really think you're going to have to walk around heaven like that? And think, well, I'm in heaven and I'm glad I'm here, but boy, I remember that time when I lost. You're really going to think that way? See, heaven resolves all that stuff. As you know, I'm a little crazy about my grandchildren. Just a little. But I have four grandchildren I've never got to talk to or see yet. Say, wouldn't you rather have them here, Pastor Johnson? Well, yes, for me personally, yes. For them, no. You don't have to know all the stuff of this life. And when we get to heaven, then there isn't going to be any more parting stuff. And all the things, does God give you back everything you lost? No, there's some things that are gone. That's all there is to it. But it's all right. I'd just like to see them again. I'd like to know what they look like. I'd like to see their faces. I got all my grandparents are on that side. I like to spend some more time with my grandparents. But I won't spend time with my grandparents. I spend forever with my grandparents. You understand? Heaven resolves all issues. It's done. You leave this life, you leave it in the grave. You leave this life, you leave it on this earth. You leave this life, it's here. So, well, I wish he would do some of that for me now. He already can and will if you'll just trust him. See, our problem is this. We think we're smarter than God or that God owes us stuff. And somehow or another, he is indebted to us. He owes us nothing. Trust in the Lord, the Bible says, and do good. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. God fixes all the stuff in this life too. But just because you trust him, then there's questions you won't even have to, you won't bother to even ask when we get to heaven. Because it resolves all the stuff. Who cares who was president when you get to heaven? Who cares what happens in the world? Who cares about the stuff of your life? You think I want to walk around forever thinking about growing up in a drunkard's home and living that kind of life I had when I was a child? You think I want that in heaven? I don't want to remember that now. I don't think about it now, quite frankly. I put it away. I mention it in preaching, but I don't live with that stuff in my mind. I don't want to. You want to live your life the walking wounded? It's because you carry a burden you don't have to carry anymore. It's a place of resolving. All doubts, losses, sorrows, questions, all that is gone. We remember each other, but we don't remember our failures and our flaws. Testimonies are wiped clean. You know why there's a heaven? Because there's a it's a place of reckoning. Ladies and gentlemen, God made heaven. And the same God made hell. And as beautiful and as wonderful as heaven is, is diametrically as opposite as the horror of hell. The same God who made a place of streets of gold and gates of pearl and walls of jasper and a paradise of God for those now, all that, the same God who made something that's so perfect and so pure and so wonderful and so beautiful and has such wonderful prospects as heaven has, the same God who made that, made a place where it's awful, it's horrible, it's fire and it is brimstone. It is burning, yet it is dark. There's suffering, and there is no end to it. And there are people there today, the rich man in Luke 16 is still crying out for someone to come and drop just a touch of water on his tongue to torment it because he is tormented in the flames of hell. It's as awful as you could imagine. And just as true as you go to heaven and you stay there forever, you go to hell and you stay there forever. And ladies and gentlemen, heaven, ladies and gentlemen, was made as a reckoning moment. So that when we depart this life, God then will reveal what our decision was in this life about one thing. And it's not a thing, it's a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. And did you settle it and get saved and trust Christ? Or did you opt for religion or philosophy or concepts or ideas? Did you embrace and hold on to your religion and your baptism instead of trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? Heaven will reckon all that stuff out. See, as we told you last week, this paradise of God, there's weeping in paradise because some folks get there and people they had hoped to see are not there. And they know what it means. Because there's only two places you go when you die. If someone's not in heaven, then they're in hell. And it is reckoned that they made their decision about Christ. Listen now. No one goes to heaven because they're good, and no one goes to hell because they're bad. You go to heaven because you get saved. You go to hell because you don't. It's really simple. Not at all complex. But trust me, Heaven is just like that. You know, I was preaching on a message about heaven many years ago in our church, and one of our families had a couple of their loved ones who come. I think he was an engineer or something, and she was a nurse. And they've been raised in Catholic religion all their life and taught works for eternal life and hope of heaven. I preached on heaven that morning, and they were in their late 40s, early 50s. They walked the aisle that morning and trusted Christ and got saved. Afterwards, I asked them, I said, what was it that prompted you to make that decision in your life? And they said, heaven seemed so good, we just couldn't take the opportunity, the chance of missing that. See, it's a reckoning thing, this thing about heaven. Everyone in heaven is there, not because they're good little boys and girls. It's because they trusted Christ as their Savior and they got saved. They're in heaven, that's why. And everyone that's in hell is there because they didn't trust Christ. They refused to do that. They would not listen and they would not receive Christ. And so they wind up in hell. There's a heaven because it's a reckoning place. And you and I this morning must make a decision for heaven and salvation now in this life. There is no meeting St. Peter at the pearly gates and he says, oh, did you do good enough? There's none of that. No one talks their way into heaven. No one works their way into heaven. No one earns their way into heaven. No one is given heaven as a gift in any other way than receiving the gift of eternal life, which is Jesus Christ, payment on the cross for your sin. That's how you get saved. So some of us, we walk around heaven, we're going to see people there. We can't remember anything about how they lived their life. But if God were to roll back the moment of memory and let us remember, we'd say, man, you got to be kidding me. He's here. She's in heaven. Oh, but that's okay, because if he did that, then someone would be looking at you saying, he's here, she's here. It's all resolved. See, the ground is level at the foot of the cross, and the way to heaven is one way, and that way is Jesus Christ and salvation through Christ alone. And heaven's going to reckon all that stuff out. Well, I don't think it's fair that people who do things bad to people get to go to heaven. We've all committed at least one murder, and that's the death of Jesus Christ. Our sin nailed him to the cross. The only sin that'll send you to hell is the sin of rejecting Christ. The only thing that'll guarantee you heaven is the simplicity of trusting Christ so you can go. It's that simple. It's just that simple. Heaven is a reckoning place. And when we get to heaven, we'll just sort of take forever to reckon it out. You wonder why people are so happy in heaven. You really think it's because they're kissing streets of gold and hugging gates of pearl? You think that's really impressing them? You think people are happy because they're in heaven, because they have a mansion that Jesus built for them? They walk in there and it looks like some kind of HGTV program where someone came in and remodeled the whole thing and you go, ooh. Or with some kind of extreme makeover and you're going to be impressed because of where you live or what the place is like. You really think that's what's going to make people happy in heaven? Trust me. God builds heaven with the stuff that people live for today. It's construction material. No big deal to him. You know why people are happy that they're in heaven? Because they're in heaven. That's why. And they're looking at Jesus, the Savior. That's why. And their loved ones are gathered there with them that was saved and gone before him. That's why. And it's forever. That's why. And there are no goodbyes. And there's no more troubles, sorrows, trials, difficulties. It's all done. It's all there. It's simple. There's one way to heaven and there's one way to hell. Accepting Christ will get you to heaven. Rejecting him will send you to hell. And it's that simple. And you decide in this life. There is reserved in heaven for you an inheritance that can't be touched, harmed, altered, or changed. Because that's what God's mind, the mind of God was, I'm going to make a place where I'm going to fix this thing that people have messed up because of sin. And heaven makes it all right again. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.